Well, that was certainly beautiful, special music. I thought their voices blended together very, very well. Certainly a wonderful message. May God's will be done in our lives. We owe everything to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. So what a blessing it is to be here on God's Sabbath day, to rejoice, to fellowship together, and to just drink it all in. It's just a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be together as God's people. Today I want to talk a bit about happiness. What is it more than anything else that determines whether a person is happy or not? Now I'm sure there are many reasons for happiness, but it seems to me that there is one main reason. We all know that a person can have all kinds of material goods and still not be happy. We've heard of billionaires who aren't happy. We all know that a person can seemingly have everything going for them and still not really be happy. But some people have very little going for them in some ways, in terms of material goods, perhaps where they were born, and yet they are very happy. Why is that? What is at the root cause of happiness? Of course, songs have been written about happiness. We all know the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." I know you're not too happy listening to me sing, but that's not the root cause of happiness, that's for sure. But seriously, a lot, you know, we talk about happiness, we write about happiness, but what is the root cause of happiness? I suppose it's true that people who worry a lot do rob themselves of a certain amount of happiness. It's difficult to worry and to be happy at the same time. So is worry the root cause of unhappiness? Certainly fearful people also rob themselves of a certain amount of happiness. It's difficult to be happy and fearful at the same time. Try it. It's not so easy. If you're really afraid of something, you're really not all that happy, generally, at least not at that particular moment. So is fear the root cause of unhappiness? Now, those of us here in America have celebrated another day of Thanksgiving. I'm sure that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving day. I certainly hope you did. I know that my wife and I had a wonderful Thanksgiving day with brethren in God's church. We really enjoyed the day a great deal. I submit to you, brethren, that being truly thankful is the root cause of real happiness. If you really stop and think about it, if you're truly thankful, you can't help but be happy. The moment that you are filled with thankfulness, with gratitude, you're a pretty happy person. But when you're no longer thankful, then it's very difficult to really be very happy. When we're truly thankful, we can't help but have a real measure of true happiness. So if you really want to be happy, then concentrate on being thankful. Spend your time pursuing being thankful. Think about it. Dwell upon it. What is it that you can be grateful for? What is it that you can be thankful for? Are you continually counting your blessings? Naming them one by one, thinking about them continually and being truly grateful for all that God is doing in your life. Thankful people are happy people. Happy people are thankful people. I believe that is the root cause of happiness, is being thankful. It seems that some people are just more naturally thankful than others. Some seem to have to struggle more with their attitudes. For whatever reason, it could be their upbringing, it could be their temperament. There are various reasons, I'm sure, why it comes more naturally for some. But I venture to say that all of us can learn to be more grateful. We can all learn to be more thankful. So how grateful and how thankful are you, first of all, for the big things in life? How grateful and how thankful are you for the big things in life? Well, what are the big things? Well, I'll tell you what I think the big things are. Of course, it depends on your priorities, doesn't it? What is really important to you? The big things in my life are, number one, my relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. Now, that's the biggest thing for me. It has been since God called me at age 18. Now, God began to work with me at an early age, as a teenager. I mean, I'm sure he worked with me somewhat before that, but he really got my attention when I was 18. That's a real big thing to me, my relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. Secondly, my calling, it goes right along with the first point. My calling is one of the first fruits. And God's plan of salvation is huge. I try to spend a lot of time thinking about that. My calling. Thirdly, my family. My family is huge. They're big to me. My wife, my kids, my parents before they died. They're still very big in certain ways, of course. I wouldn't be here without them. I treasure and cherish them, their memory. My brothers, my sisters. Number four, my church family, God's church, all of you, God's people. My calling as a minister. Those are all big things for me. My health is big. It's nice to be healthy. I've been very blessed to be very healthy. Even my gimp knee is getting better. I'm jogging again. Number six, the health and well-being of those I love is very, very important to me as well. When my wife suffers, I hurt too. When you suffer, I hurt as well. When anyone in God's church hurts, then we all should suffer. The basic necessities of life are important to me. They're huge. You know, it's nice to have food to eat, clothing to wear, a shelter above my head. Those are important. My hobbies are also big to me. I enjoy hobbies. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to play softball. I like to read. You know, I have a number of hobbies that I truly enjoy. But way down on the list are the luxuries. And yet God has even blessed us with many luxuries. Many, many luxuries. All of us living in this country have many, many luxuries. We're a very blessed people. So those are the big things in my life. It's really not, I mean, those are way down on the list. The luxuries are small, really. But those things, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those are the important things. Those are the things that we really need to dwell upon. If we have those, we have so much to be thankful for. If we don't have some of the others, if we don't have as much money as we would like, it's not as important, not nearly as important. How grateful and thankful are you for the little things in life? Well, what are the little things? Well, I'm sure everyone would have what they would consider little, but in some ways, a sunset is a little thing. It happens every day. But are you grateful for a sunset? Do you enjoy it? How about a walk in the woods? Is that important to you? A stroll through the rose garden. You wouldn't want to stroll through my rose garden, but some people have some very nice rose gardens. They're more pleasurable. A breath of fresh air. Do we thank God for a simple breath of fresh air? How about laughter? Laughter is really not a small thing, is it? Laughter is a huge thing. Having a sense of humor, enjoying your life, smiling. I've been known as a smiler. I'm glad I smile. I enjoy smiling. Brethren, I would encourage you to think on those things. You know, Paul tells us to meditate on the things that are right and good and pure and lovely, things that are beautiful, things that have virtue. Think on those things. Try not to dwell so much on the negative aspects of life. There's plenty of negative in the world. I'm not saying we don't have to deal with the negative. We do have to deal with it. We can't just ignore it. But let's make sure we're spending most of our time meditating and dwelling on the things that God has given us, not the things that we don't yet have. Let me say that again. Let's take most of our time dwelling on the things, the blessings that God has already given us, not on the things that we haven't yet received. Our great God has been very gracious to us. He has given us so much. I marvel at God's blessings. You know, Barb and I were talking about that on the drive here. I got emotional just thinking about it. How gracious God has been in our lives. And I know He's gracious in your life. We certainly need to give God thanks. There is great joy and happiness in being thankful for all that the Father and His Son have given each and every one of us. When we're truly thankful, we can't help but be truly joyful. We can't help but be happy. When we let the cares of this world and the stresses and the problems and the challenges of this world drag us down, we lose sight of our great blessings. We begin to feel a bit sorry for ourselves. We become selfish. We become self-conscious. It steals our joy. It steals our happiness. There is great joy in being thankful. But in order to have that joy, we must continually dwell upon our blessings and truly be thankful for each and every one of them. Most of all, we should be truly thankful to God, who is the greatest giver of all. And we should make Him number one in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And know that all these things will be added unto you. Again, be grateful for what you've been given. Don't dwell on what you have not yet received. It's not wrong to have goals. It's not wrong to want to attain and to achieve things. But be grateful for what you already have achieved, what God has already given you, what He's blessed you with. Be content. I'd like to read from the Discipleship Journal, 1981. It's been a few years ago, but it's still meaningful today. It was written by Jim White. It's a little section called More Than the Man Upstairs. When I was a boy, my father would go away twice a year to buy clothing for his clothing store. The minute my three brothers and I heard his car drive up after one of these trips, we would run to meet him, asking what he had brought back in his suitcase for us. But one day when he set the suitcase down after we asked what he brought home for us, he said, "I brought you me. I brought you me. I'm back. I'm home." I remember the disappointment. Jim says, "Aren't you happy to see me?" My father said, "I brought you me." "Yeah, we're happy to see you," we answered, "but what have you got for us in your suitcase?" We bore the mark of immaturity, being wrapped up in gifts instead of the giver. We need to be wrapped up a lot more in the giver than we are the gifts. Be grateful to the giver. Be thankful for the gifts, yes. But most of all, be appreciative to the giver. We should all be wrapped up in the greatest giver of all. Thank God for whom He is. Thank God for who He is daily. We do owe it all to God. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's go there for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Now this is when they were about to go into the promised land. You know, they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience and because of their unbelief, the children of Israel. So a warning is given. "Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today." Of course, Moses is sharing this with God's people. He says, "Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Eternal, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, from the house of slavery, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Everything God does is for our good. Remember, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 17, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained all this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall die. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Eternal your God. Yes, God does require obedience. He doesn't require absolute perfection because he knows our weakness. He understands our weakness, but God does look for a repentant heart, a repentant mind, someone who truly wants to put sin out of his life and become every bit as much as he possibly can like God. That's what he's seeking, to become like God. That is our greatest goal in life, to become like God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we recognize this as one of the blessing and cursing chapters. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the last part of it, verses 47 and 48. 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. Again, because you were not thankful, because you did not serve God with joy and with gladness of heart. God wants you to be joyful. That's one of the fruits of God's Spirit. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be supremely happy. If you're not happy, then you need to seek happiness. But you can only find happiness if you do it God's way. That's the only thing that is true happiness, is when we are seeking God and pleasing him in our life. So verse 48, let me read verse 47 again. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. You know, the Bible does prophesy some terrible things that will happen in the future. You know, we cannot deny what the Scripture tells us about the very last days and what will befall this earth. We certainly want to be pleasing God when all of that begins to happen, for our own sake, but most importantly, for everyone's sake. We need to set an example for one another. There will be a people, a remnant, a first fruit, the first fruits who will be faithful in the very last days. God will work with them and miraculous ways. But now is the time to get your hearts right with God. Now is the time to repent of sin and truly seek God in his ways. We should be enjoying the blessings that God has poured upon us now. We have tremendous blessings. We should be enjoying them in this country, but we should always remember where they came from and be grateful for them and realize that all good gifts come from God. We are blessed because of faithful Abraham. Remember, Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And that's why Abraham was chosen and selected. And we enjoy the blessings of Abraham. We are descended from the loins of Abraham. This country is greatly blessed because of that inheritance that we have through Abraham. We have rich natural resources. The beauty of God's creation is everywhere around us. It's a wonderful land in which we live. As God's called out once today, our spiritual blessings are so much greater and more enjoyable than any of the material blessings that we have. We should spend lots of our time reading about, praying about, meditating upon, and being thankful for our spiritual blessings and our individual calling in particular. Dwell on those things. We all have a wonderful future ahead of us in a glorious kingdom of peace, prosperity, and abundance for all eternity. I mean, our future is very, very bright. Your future is very, very, very bright. Thank God for our future. More than 60 scientists have been given millions of dollars in funding to help humanity find happiness. Now, this is from an article in the U.S. News and World Report back in 2001 entitled Happiness Explained. This is what they came up with. More than 60 scientists have been given millions of dollars in funding to help humanity find happiness. A popular movement among psychologists called positive psychology is an attempt to elevate and focus its research on people's strengths rather than only trying to deal with human weaknesses and problems. Although the U.S. standard of living has increased since World War II, there is no increase in the number of people who regard themselves as happy. A U.S. News and World Report on the subject says, once income provides basic needs, it doesn't correlate to happiness. Nor does intelligence, prestige, or sunny weather. People grow used to new climates, higher salaries, and better cars. That's not what brings happiness. Many years and millions of dollars studying and treating depression have succeeded in reducing most people's levels of sadness, but they are not necessarily happier. Researchers have found that self-esteem, spirituality, family, and good marriages and friendships are key to a happy life. So are hope, meaning, and discovering and pursuing the right goals. Even helping others to be happy can jumpstart a process that will lead to stronger relationships, renewed hope, and a general upward spiraling of happiness. Just seeing others do a good deed results in that heartwarming feeling and influences people to do the same. Good examples are good for everyone. They rub off. Gratitude is another key ingredient. I'm still reading from the U.S. News and World Report. Gratitude is another key ingredient to a happy life. People who made a daily and or frequent practice of being thankful were not only more joyful, they were healthier, more optimistic, and more likely to help others. Hope and spirituality work together to provide an important basis to a happy life. Hope fosters optimism, and faith is, by definition, hope for the future. And the church-going form of faith can be a built-in social support network. This is not to say that atheists can't be happy, but it helps explain why so many do find happiness in faith and why researchers continue to find connections between faith, optimism, and physical health. So that was from the U.S. News and World Report. Even they see a great correlation between spirituality, between being thankful, in having hope, and being happy. There are many scriptures that we don't have time to go to today that talk about offering up to God thanksgiving. You can look those up. You don't need me. You know, you all have eSword. You can search under thanksgiving. You'll find many scriptures that talk about the importance of giving thanks to God, offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving, praising God who has dealt wondrously with each and every one of us. Psalm 140, verse 3 says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto your name, to God's name. We will give thanks to God. That is part of our calling, to give God thanks. And we should not forget all his benefits. Psalm 103, do not forget all of God's benefits. Not too long ago, an atheist was walking through the woods. He was admiring all the accidents that evolution had created. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. Turning to look, he saw a 7-foot grizzly bear charge towards him. He ran away as fast as he could up the path. He looked over his shoulder and he saw the grizzly was closing in. Somehow he ran even faster, so scared that tears came to his eyes. He looked again and the bear was even closer. His heart was pounding. He tried to run faster. He tripped and he fell to the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but the bear was right over him, reaching for him with its left paw and raising its right paw to strike him. Oh, at that instant, the atheist cried out and took God's name in vain. He said, "Oh my God." He doesn't believe in God, but he's using his name now. Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. Even the river stopped moving. As a bright light shone upon the man, a voice came out of the sky. "You deny my existence for all these years. You teach others that I don't exist. And you even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer now?" The atheist looked directly into the light and said, "I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The river ran. The sounds of the forest resumed. Then the bear dropped his right paw. He brought both paws together, bowed his head, and spoke, "Lord, for this food which I am about to receive, I am ever thankful." Now, personally, I think it would be a terrible thing to be an atheist. I do. I think it would be a terrible thing. It would be a horrible thing to me, personally. Can you even imagine not believing in an almighty God? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be grateful and have no one to thank? To be grateful and have no one to thank? To be awed and have no one to worship? To me, that would be difficult. Of course, an atheist doesn't see it quite that way. They believe we are the ones who are deceived. To be an atheist takes a great deal of faith as well. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says we should enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. We should be thankful unto him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Concerning you, we should always give thanks. The key to being thankful is to dwell on what you have been given, not what you have yet received. Be grateful. Count your blessings. Paul encouraged those at Colossae to abound in thanksgiving. To abound in thanksgiving, to be truly grateful for all that they've received. Brethren, as we have just very recently celebrated another National Day of Thanksgiving, let us ask ourselves, how truly happy am I? How truly thankful am I? Remember, truly happy people are truly thankful people. Truly thankful people are happy people. And remember as well, the root cause of happiness is being truly thankful. I'm truly thankful for all of you.